E.G. White to Brother and Sister Haskell, June 8, 1906, H-192-06. June 24, 1906, Elmshaven Sanitarium, California. June 8, 1906. Dear Brother and Sister Haskell, we have received and read your interesting letter, also the enclosures from Sister Burgess. Thank you for sending these communications. The experiences they relate are very encouraging. The recent developments in Battle Creek have caused me a great amount of writing. I have been kept under a constant strain to meet the emergencies as they arise. Through the day, and by lamplight in the early morning hours, I have worked, until, with congested brain and weakened eyes, I have been obliged to call a halt. But the Lord has graciously blessed me this morning, and I have some relief. Elder Taylor has left Battle Creek and has returned to California. He says that he went to Battle Creek, hoping that he might help the brethren spiritually, but he now feels that the conditions there are such that it is impossible for him to benefit them, so he has left. Yesterday, I had a long visit as I rode out with Brother and Sister Howell. Brother Howell is very desirous of knowing how to plan for the educational work with which he is connected, so that no mistakes may be made. I tell him that the Lord will lead all who are willing to be led. The Bible is our safe guidebook. Said Christ, "He that will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me." We cannot mark out a practice line to be followed unconditionally. Circumstances and emergencies will arise for which the Lord must give special instruction. But if we begin to work, depending upon the Lord, watching, praying, and walking in harmony with the light He sends us, we shall not be left to walk in darkness. I am glad that you are carrying forward the work you have undertaken in San Bernardino. I believe that you are working in harmony with the light that has been given to me. In your work, you come in contact with people who need to feel a hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Lord's blessing will be with all who work in harmony with His plans. It has often been presented to me that there should be less sermonizing by ministers acting merely as local pastors of churches, and that greater personal efforts should be put forth. Our people should not be made to think that they need to listen to a sermon every Sabbath. Many who listen frequently to sermons, even though the truth be preached in clear lines, learn but little. Often it would be more profitable if the Sabbath meetings were of the nature of a Bible class study. Bible truth should be presented in such a simple, interesting manner that all can easily understand and grasp the principles of salvation. We should seek to follow more closely the example of Christ the Great Shepherd, as He worked with His little company of disciples, studying with them and with the people the Old Testament Scriptures. His active ministry consisted not merely in sermonizing, but in educating the people. As He passed through villages, He came in personal contact with the people in their homes, teaching and ministering to their necessities. As the crowds that followed Him increased, when He came to a favorable place, He would speak to them, simplifying His discourses by the use of parables and symbols. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, that we may understand the character we may possess if we eat His flesh and drink His blood. "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood," He declares, "hath eternal life." And He further says, "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The infinite sufficiency of Christ is demonstrated by His bearing the sins of the whole world. He occupies the double position of offerer and of offering, of priest and of victim. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. "The prince of this world cometh," He declares, "and findeth nothing in me." He was a lamb without blemish and without spot. As we look to Him, we see our work exemplified. How can the sinner be redeemed? When the conscience has been awakened to a sense of an intolerable burden of guilt, what will give a hope that outweighs all discouragement and despair? It is Christ that died. Oh, price above all price, rejoice, sinful one. Sin is not infinite. However aggravated its character, however oppressive the guilt of conscience, there is blessed hope. Though your sins be as scarlet, repentant one, despair not. They shall be as white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What shall turn us from the love of God? Shall we not earnestly endeavor to point sinners to the matchless love of Christ? Ellen G. White.